Yeah, you know.
Very well. How's your con treating you?
My con is marvelous. He's got a glasses cloth. Let's see.
Yeah.
That's better. Hey, Cam. Cam, I'll say really nice things about you if you say nice things about me, all right?
Yeah, sure.
So give us the dirt on Cam.
He's fucking awful. Sweet Christ. I carried that boy through this whole fucking film. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
First of all, were you there last night?
I was not able to make it. I'm sorry to say. The hair was great.
It was really, really shockingly great. I was totally blown away, yeah. Blown away.
I've actually seen a rough cut of it.
You have?
Yeah. I work at Sony, so they showed it to the employees.
You should see it now.
I know, I'm waiting to see
it. It's really, I saw that rough cut and I saw that, how long ago did you see it?
God, it was in the fall.
Okay, yeah. It's since been cut by Bob, who won the Oscar for, somebody help me out, he won the Oscar for Hurt Locker.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he did an amazing job and it is, like, I mean, I like the rough cut, and this was an extraordinary kind of growth in the movie. And then I was beyond happy with what I saw. And then last night, I was genuinely blown away. I'm not often lost for words, but I was so shocked by how great the conversion looked. Wow. Anyway, how can I help you all here today?
So going from Legion, which is really heavy special effects, to this movie, which is very special effects heavy, compared to your previous films, how is that harder as an actor, as opposed to just an actual actor?
Not really. They're such different... they feel like different things. You know, I went straight from this movie to making a film in 17 days with... Kevin Spacey and Stanley Tucci and Simon Baker and Jeremy Arnold. I mean, 17 days, 12 pages a day. And that was intense and hard in its own way. But this was a lot of getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym, you know, a lot of combat training, a lot of wire work. And the thing is, you know, there was this one moment where you're driving across a salt flat, you know, with the train trailer was being pulled by a truck, and it's, you know, you're doing 50 miles an hour, and I'm on a bike, which is on a rig, and I've got a rig attached to a Jeep, and I've got a wire on my costume, and I stand up on the bike, and I have to jump into this fucking train at 50 miles, and now I know I'm wired, and I'm thinking, how did I get to this point in my life where I'm driving along? And at that point, I'm genuinely not concerned with the fact that there's only one trailer and the rest of the train's going to be put in CG, or there's no train tracks and there's a truck, you know, and there's a camera crew. I mean, there's so much to ignore anyway. You've got a huge camera crew, you know. I didn't really have any trouble with that stuff. I remember once it was difficult. I think if you've seen the trailer, there's this moment where I jump up and I meet this vampire midair and I stab him in the chest and we hit the ground and I cut his heart out. And in actual fact, that evening when we did it, I ran across the yard there and I jumped up into the air. And I flew, and the timing had to be perfect for me to meet this incredibly unthreatened pillow that was flying towards me on a rope. I suppose that was the most challenging, the kind of the imaginative work like that, what we've got, because, you know, pillows are clearly not that intimidating unless they're in the right hands.
This is your second movie in a row with Scott Stewart.
Yeah.
You guys must have you must have a system down it by now. How was the experience working with him again?
You know, Scott and I have become really close friends, you know. I mean, we talk all of the time. And, you know, we made Legion together, and Clint gave us, before the receipts came in, gave us the opportunity to make a film at, you know, over three times the budget of the previous movie. And Scott made Legion for very little money, and it almost suffers from a critical eye because it looks like it's a more expensive movie than it actually. We had no fucking. The thing takes place in one room in a diner. You know, we had no dough, and for a film made with no dough, I think, you know, and just to see him suddenly with a much bigger canvas, and this time the money to buy great paints, you know, it was lovely to watch him. You know, I mean, I think you can see from the trailer is really entirely representative of what the movie's like as well. Mm-hmm. You know, often they're not trailers. You know what I mean? But this really is. But he's really created a world, and it feels full and real and all of that.
How deeply did you dive in with the comic as you sort of prepared for this role?
Sorry, say that again?
How deeply did you dive in with the comic as you prepared for this role?
You know, I started reading them. I mean, our film has almost nothing to do with the comic. The comic is entirely different. Minwoo came over during pre-production and really actually got really inspired by some of the, you know, he stopped his book 16, and he got really inspired by the artwork and the design of the movie and the script, and actually wrote a bridging story to bridge the two worlds, and has since been, you know, starting to write graphic novels about our world now, because our world is the idea is that it takes place in the future of that, of the world of his graphic novel. And Ivan in that is the original priest, and he has a scar on his, of a cross on his forehead. And the reason we have a tattoo is it's supposed to be an homage to the original priest.
Are you deliberately going into more action movies now? Are you trying to broaden your horizons as an actor, or what's the purpose?
You know, quite simply, somebody said you can't. Oh, you never. You know, a dear friend of mine said you never. It's not going to be an action guy. Right. like you know, like a, you know, a punk. Like the punk I am. I went no, and I went down the gym and lifted up some weights and decided I was going to check it out and see how that felt. And it's been felt good. So it's been a lot of fun. You know, I mean, clearly, I did this film, and then I went and made a you know, in actual fact, I didn't go straight from this movie, from Legion to this movie. I did Legion, and then I made a film about Charles Darwin, where I put on 45 pounds and shaved my head, and then I came back and lost all of that weight and made this movie, and then I went and made this film with Stanley Tucci and Kevin Spacey, and it's... It's the way I intend to sort of keep things going. It's just to do as many different things as I can, and, you know, keep on enjoying myself, making different types of movies.
Were any of you guys at the screening last night? Anybody? No.
I've seen a rough cut of it, though.
You saw a rough cut of it.
And back in at Sony in the fall.
Oh, cool. Oh, okay, cool. Well, yeah, it was fun to be able to actually kind of have people see, you know, some of the press we've done today. It was with people that have actually seen it. And, you know, you would do these things at, you know, Comic-Con and all those kinds of things, and you have to talk about something that people haven't seen. Go, it's really cool, I think, trust me.
Well, the trailers are out there, and the trailers look fabulous. I mean, they look like a lot of fun. There's pretty toys in there, future.
Yeah, that's when, you know, when we showed about 8 minutes of the movie last night, and we were really, you know, just the reaction in the room, and then what people were tweeting immediately afterwards, and the write-ups that are online, particularly from some pretty tough customers, was really pleasing. I mean, it seemed like people were getting that the movie's, it's got a, you know, it's a whole world, and it's a different view of vampires, that it's meant to be really fun, that it's got really fun action, it's got very fast pace, and hopefully satisfying.
As long as it's not another Twilight.
It's definitely not another Twilight.
Well, I mean, vampires are certainly big right now. You know, what attracted you?
Well, this felt like a different one. It felt like an opportunity to, it was an opportunity to design a whole world. I mean, I love those movies where, you know, Brazil and, you know, Blade Runner and Star Wars and just all those movies where you get to design everything in the world. And so that was it was a chance to be able to do that, which was really exciting. And then when I really looked at what the story was about, I mean, the Paul's character in the movie, in many respects, when I read it, kind of reminded me of John Rambo in First Blood. You know, it's a really iconic character, and the story, you know, because it's a movie that takes place after a war is over. It takes place a generation after the war is over, and the people who won the war have been relegated to the shadows of society, and now he's called upon to actually come back and save everyone again. And so the movie's kind of about sacrifice, and the thing that we've warred against is this race of vampires. And they're very feral, and they're very biologically oriented in terms of their design, and they speak a language that we don't understand, and that kind of felt like an interesting, you know, as opposed to the metaphor of sexual, you know, sublimated sexual desire, and, you know, that it's a romance, or I want you, but I can't have you because I must die if I'm going to be with you, which is great and fine, and that's definitely one of the things that's in, you know, vampire, gothic vampire lore. But this is kind of pushing into a different direction, and so hopefully audiences will appreciate seeing something that's just different than what they've seen.
So we just talked to Paul, and he said that working with you on Legion, that he has just more budget, but that he's doing a good job with the movie. And then this film, you had almost like triple the budget. What did you find was the best part of having a large budget for this film?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that Legion's budget was really tiny, so having triple the size is more, for sure. It's, you know, nowhere near as big budgeted a movie as some of the big summer movies that we're going out against, not even close, which for us is kind of a cool thing, because we feel like the movie does deliver, and it does create a big world. It's just the bar for us is lower. You know, when you make a $250 million movie, it's hard to take risks, and the film has to perform a particular type of way and at a particular level. So it gives us a lot more margin, which is for the film to play and for us to have fun with it. And it gave us more freedom creatively. So I guess it was great. Well, Legion was really, I mean, it was isolated. It took place entirely in basically one location. And, you know, we tried to put as many big images as we could in there, but there was a restriction of what we really could do. This is just an entirely different kind of film. It's a different story. It's a very straightforward adventure movie. There's a very clear goal for the character he's trying to get through, and he goes on the search for this young woman. And he's confronted by, you know, two different adversaries over the course of the movie that he's been dealing with. And it was a chance to kind of make a big landscape movie, and having the budget just allowed us to be able to do things like, you know, make the world feel more comprehensive, and, make the action scenes particularly with the digital characters, the vampire characters, more elaborate and exciting. And so that's fun. But it also just forces you, even so, we pushed really hard against our budget. I mean, I think the movie looks a lot more expensive than it is. And that just means you just have to really plan things really well. Does that answer the question?
Yes.
Okay. What are some of the risks you were able to take without...
Well, I mean, like... the vampires, really, just the way that, I mean, you know, people have a certain expectation, and I just didn't want to do it that way, I guess, you know what I mean? It could have made them people, and could have made them talk, and could have made them sexy. I mean, there's only one of those in the movie. That's Carl Urban's character. You know, he exists as only the only human vampire in the film. And it's kind of a hybrid between the two. But the sort of other race is the fact that they were willing to allow me to do them as all digital characters, and because of the way I wanted them to move. And we tried it with stunt people, and we tried it, and, you know, in terms of the anatomy of whether we could make things look as skinny as they are, and it has, you know, they have like double the number of bones that people have, and all sorts of all the kind of stuff that we were playing around with anatomically. And that took a little bit of convincing, but they agreed to let us do it. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, well, you need to cast some huge actor as this vampire and this actor as this vampire. And they let it be a creature movie in that respect, which I was really happy about.
Talk about Carl Urban. How did he come on to this project?
Carl and I met, and we had lunch, and he had read the script, and he was really into it. And, you know, we were talking about the different roles, and I just think he's so versatile. I mean, he's just amazing. I mean, people see him in this movie and they go, that's Carl. I mean, the strength about Carl Urban is like he's a really beautiful movie star looking guy. And yet no one recognizes him from movie to movie recently. He's just been, every role is like something new. And because he really is kind of a character actor hidden within the body of a leading man, you know, movie star. And that's fun. And it's really fun to be able to do that because we needed the character of Black Hat is the way the character is referred to. It's actually never referred to as anything in the movie. We call him Black Hat. He had to be somebody that had sort of a charisma and a power. And you know, he is, if anything, the only nod to the sort of traditional, at least contemporary vampire idea of the sort of more sensual character. But you know, early in the story, he's a soldier, you know, just like the Paul character and the Maggie character. And Maggie Q's somebody else who was really, you know, that's a, you know, another way of being able to take risks in the movie is in the cast. Is, you know, it's not about just the biggest person, but who we thought was the best. And certainly with the case with Maggie Q, it's like, I loved her and I wanted her to be in the movie, and she really fit in the world, and I'm so glad that we were able to do it, because you know, when people see her and when she arrives in the movie, particularly because the movie has this very kind of masculine quality, and then she arrives in the movie and she has it too, but she just kind of adds this whole another level of kick-ass girl in the movie, and people just love her, and she got the biggest reaction of the night for sure with the footage last night. With some of the stuff she's doing in the movie, which is really fun.
What spurred the decision to shift the setting forward in time from where it's set in the comics?
Well, that was how the script was written, and it might be more of a question for Corey Goodman, who wrote the script, but, you know, we shared it with Min Woo, and he came out to Los Angeles, and you know, the books, I mean, it's 16 books long, and it's a kind of a soap opera, and it's very sprawling, and it's got a gazillion characters, and it had no ending. He never finished it. He got to, after, I mean, it's amazing he wrote 16 books and then stopped, and there's no, you know, you have no idea what's going to grow in the story. And so our idea was to say that was the past and this is the future, and that was a way to allow us to kind of create something that was a little more contained, so we could tell a complete story in one movie. And interesting, when Minmo came out and he heard what we had done, he read the script and he saw all the designs, we were understandably quite nervous because of the liberties we had taken, and he was really excited about it, so much so that he went back and wrote. He said, you know, I had always imagined the story going in this direction, this direction, this direction, and interestingly, you guys did take it in that direction. And then he wrote the story that bridges book 16 to the new series that Tokyo Pop released, and so that was really cool.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Who's first?
This is your first WonderCon?
This is my first WonderCon. It's my first Comic-Con/WonderCon. I didn't get to do the last one I was filming, and it's so much fun. It's crazy. I've never been to something like this before.
What's your
impression of it so far?
I love it. I love seeing people walk around in costumes. I love meeting all the fans, and they're the most dedicated fans. So I love to be able to meet them and just see what this world is all about, because it's one that I wasn't familiar with before I started filming.
Can you go a little bit into your transition from like doing TV work into bigger budget movies and now doing like big budget sci-fi social effects movies?
Yeah, I started out at 2 years old doing a TV show, but I mean, that was my first taste of it, but my focus has always been film. I did do like 2 episodes of 90210, but my focus and desire has always been film. So I auditioned for like 3 or 4 years and finally got The Blind Side. And didn't expect it to be what it was. Knew it was an amazing story and a great project, and I was honored to just be working with such amazing actors, but never thought it would turn into what it did. And then to transition into something like this, which is completely different, and something with a fan base that's huge, to then go on to, like, yesterday I found out that I'm going to be Snow White. So then again, that's something that's very... very big, and I'm still completely shocked over. So I'm still on this kind of crazy roller coaster, but it's fun. It's all a new experience.
Was it Blindside to this production, or was
Blindside went home for like 2 weeks, and I auditioned for this, and went to England for 2 months, and got a call in England saying, "Fly home, you got the movie." Like, I didn't meet anybody, so I flew home and did this, and then I did Abduction. I finished that, shot that in Pittsburgh over the summer, and finished that, and came back. And the next one will be Snow White. And then there's Mortal Instruments, but that will be after.
That's Scott again.
Yeah, yes, exactly. It's Scott who's directing and at Screen Gems, so we're kind of in the process of casting the other characters. And I'm a huge fan of the books. I love the series. The fourth one's coming out like any day now, so I'm super excited. But again, that's a story based on a girl heroine who is a really cool, complex character, and I'm very excited to play.
And, I mean, how is it working with Scott? What's your relationship like on the set?
Well, this was his second film. Priest was his second film, so he was relatively a new director.
Yeah.
But he comes from the visual effects background. So this world that he created has always been in his head. I mean, we didn't necessarily know what it was going to look like ultimately, but he did, and he knew how to get there. And he was surprisingly such an actor's director, yet it's only his second film. Like, he really knew how to connect to each of us in a way that we understood. Like, he could talk to me and get something out of me that he wanted to get out of Cam or Paul, but he would give us different scenarios and connect on us with us on a different level. And he's just, like, calm. And it's, like, sometimes eerie when you've got all this stuff going on, and it's, like, a really freaky film with, you know, things flying everywhere, fire, and he's just like, we'll get it. You know, we'll get there. And it puts you in a really calm place. And I saw the 3D footage for the first time yesterday and was blown away. And I kept thinking, he created this alternate world, and this is what Mortal needs. Mortal Instruments is this other completely different fantasy world, and I have complete confidence that Scott can take it there because he did it with this one. And he's fun and funny, too. I don't feel like there's tension ever, you know, with anything going on set, because he makes it really comfortable.
Could you talk a little bit about your character? Describe her a little bit.
Yeah, Lucy. It's interesting because she's not actually in the graphic novel series. She was created for the purpose of the movie. The movie is based in the future past the last book that was written. So fans couldn't necessarily say, you know, that's not how Lucy's supposed to do anything, because, you know, there's a set way that she has to act. So I got to add a little bit of Lily in there. But she is used as bait, really, as leverage to restart the war between vampires and priests, because Paul Bettany, who's the main priest, is my uncle. So when Carl kidnaps me, he knows that that will cause priests to come after him and then start fighting, which will break the treaty, and then the war can start again. So I'm basically used as bait. You know, I'm locked in a cage, seduced, starved, beaten, you know. I mean, I kind of go through everything because they want... I mean, I'm going through everything trying to escape. So the entire movie, you're cutting back and forth between me trying to escape and them trying to find me. And ultimately, I go from a damsel in distress to a fighter. Because I have the priest blood in my family. And so it's always there, but I've never had to use it. So these situations kind of make me need to use it and able to save myself. So it's a cool character arc because she's not just kidnapped and, like, you know, someone save me. You see her in certain scenes clocking things in her surroundings and taking a weapon to use later and ultimately, like, you know, setting someone on fire and knife fights and everything. So it's cool to get to play both.
So you actually got to do some fun action.
I did, yeah. I got whipped around a lot, but then I got to actually do action in the end, stunts, and I kept saying, you know, if there's a priest too, you left off with her being, you know, a fighter. You can't have her go back. Now she needs to train more, and she needs to become a priestess, because Maggie Q, like, is amazing in this film. She is such a fighter, and she does the craziest stunts with her weapons, and she kicks butt. Yeah.
So Paul basically, he said that he had to do a lot of prep work for his action shoots. Did you have to do any prep work for any of your action shoots later?
I actually didn't have to do that much. I'm a pretty active person. I mean, I go in the gym a lot. I love running. I love sports. So when it came to the action stuff, I was more than excited to do that. It was more, you know, making sure that my knife fight didn't look like I didn't know what I was doing, and making sure the work with the harness was okay and, like, you know, the flying was safe and all that. But training-wise, I think the guys, Mad Maggie had intense training because she uses things and weapons in crazy ways, and that'll be the next movie, hopefully. Save the training for the next one.
So I've got to ask about Snow White. This is such an iconic character. I mean, did you grow up watching?
I mean, literally, I live in a fairy tale in my head sometimes. I am the biggest fantasy fairy tale fan. Magic, anything to do with that. So Snow White was, like, one of my favorites, and this happened so quickly. I literally read for it 2 days ago. You know, I read for the role 2 days ago at 3 o'clock, met Tarsem that night, and was cast yesterday.
Wow.
When I got off the flight yesterday, I found out. To come here, I found out. So I have not tested with anyone. I have not read with anyone. I just was a huge admirer of Tarsem. He's, like, he's the epitome and definition of, like, a visionary artist. I think he's just insane. And his vision is so crazy that no matter... I mean, we're not making an edgy version of it. We're not, you know, retelling it in a way that you won't recognize. We're Tarseming it, is what I call it. It's like anything that you put his twist on is going to be different and epic. So I'm just excited to be a part of something like that. And let alone the fact that, you know, it's Julia Roberts and Armie Hammer and myself. I'm still, you know, it's all really fresh in my mind. And that will be a lot of training, I've heard. A lot of... Because she's also, you know, she's very feminine, but at the same time she turns into a fighter. And she has a lot more training, which I'm excited for. So. Yeah.
Have you seen the whole script yet?
I've read the latest version that they would release. I know that I think they're doing some rewrites. I mean, those kind of things are rewritten a lot. But from what I read, it just made me love it even more. But then again, I only had read that script the day before I read. So it's literally been like 3 days of just... craziness. I know, shooting, doing stuff for the Immortals.
Yep.
Immortals, yeah. Everyone keeps saying, they're like, we just saw him. I'm like, I need to go see him. Like, I need to go say hi to, you know, the person I'm working with. Because last time I saw him, I wasn't cast. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Very cool.
Have you been down to the floor yet?
No, I think I'm going to go to that, there's like a room where I can see, because we're so busy, we don't have time to go down, but there's like something that you can see everything. I want to see what the floor looks like, yeah. I've not been outside yet. All I hear are like people screaming. Sounds fun.
Did you notice a lot of rewrites while you were filming this priest? Were there a lot of rewrites, or was it pretty much set?
No, there were, I wouldn't say a crazy amount of rewrites, but there were changes in scenes, additions, things that were added on the spot in improv. You know, I'd do something like, oh, cool, let's try it that way. Scott was also very much about living in the moment and improving it, and some of the moments in there are really spontaneous, which adds to the fluidity in the action.
I used to work on TV, and I covered a very different vampire.
Yeah, you did.
You're not a vampire.
I am not a vampire. Yeah, you know, I had to get rid of the sparkly makeup and kind of take a different path.
Will you please I won't answer that.
I loved everything that Twilight had, and I'm so grateful for being able to be a part of that, and it just kind of was an amazing once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so, now that that's over, there you go.
That's it.
So have you gone about selecting your roles that you've had? You've been working a lot, actually, the past few years, so what is there anything in particular that you seek out? Is it just a strong script, or are you...
I seek out people who will hire me. Yeah. Fortunately, a big fan of mine is the head of this studio, Screen Gems, which is Clint Culpepper, and has hired me countless times, whether it was Easy A or Burlesque and Priest. You know, so having him in my corner is a good thing. But I've always kind of, at least now in my career, I play a more reactive role. You know, I'm not going out seeking anything, but if something comes to me that I love, then I'll say, yes, let's try to convince them to hire me. But yeah, I'm not at that place yet. I can't wait, though. I'll just be, like, looking at scripts and, yes, I'll do that. Yep, and then do that. Someday.
Can you tell us a little bit about your character?
Play Sheriff Hicks. I'm the sheriff of a small town outside the protection of the church and their city that they have. And my girlfriend is played by Lily, who is Lucy, and she ends up getting kidnapped by these group of vampires. And so I end up enlisting the help of Priest, and our journey kind of starts there. Yeah.
Do you have...
I don't know how to sum things up very well.
Do you have, like, a lot of action, or...
No, I mean, I get my ass kicked a few times. Yeah, so it was kind of a change of pace for me, which I enjoyed. Did you guys see Nightshade, or the scenes last night?
I didn't, I'm sorry.
Well, I get my butt kicked there, so you didn't miss anything. But, you know, to be honest, the hardest thing that I did, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, was that in one of the scenes I had my gun. My gun's like 8 feet long, 120 pounds. I have my gun up in the air, and by the end of the scene, so I start shaking. And then all of a sudden, on my last piece of dialogue, I'm like aimed at his feet. Shoot you in the foot. And so, yeah, that was another humbling experience. It's my natural hair color. I got rid of the dirty blonde. To be honest, it's not for a role. It's just for a change of pace, I guess. My sister did it, and she had been gone for a few months. She came back and had to do something.
Now, there's a lot in this movie that's like the searchers.
Yes.
So, I mean, did you sort of look at things like that?
Yes.
Get
yes. I don't know if you guys have talked to Scott Stewart, but that was one of his big inspirations, is that movie. And so he made sure that we all had watched it. And it really was. It was great just to even see the relationship, and especially with Paul and I, having that there. And even having something to kind of, I mean, come on, it's the searchers to learn from, really, is a great tool, I guess, to use. So
Scott comes from a really effects-heavy background, first with behind the scenes and then with directing. So how was it working with him on such a big scale with special effects driven like science fiction movie?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it was just... I didn't really realize how good, I guess, he was in the... the special effects part of it. And so, because when he was filming the movie, a lot of it was focused on, one, having the practical sets, real enough that we can actually kind of step into this world and not have to fake all this world around us. And two, he would just, everything was kind of focused on the acting when we were shooting. It was great. And so he would kind of give us, he would kind of give us hints at what it's going to look like eventually. And when I had seen it a few weeks ago and even in 3D last night, he created such an amazing world. And then having, you know, Paul and Scott kind of lead the way, it was amazing. Especially, you know, getting to work with someone like Paul is a pleasure. Yeah. Next question.
I think there's another story there. Working with Paul is a pleasure.
What's that?
It sounds like there's a story there.
Oh, plenty of stories. I can tell a lot of shit about Paul. His motorcycle actually had tricycle wheels on it. Training wheels. Seriously. You know, to be honest, every time he walks onto set, he'll say everyone, he'll kind of make everyone in a good mood, and that's kind of how the set was every single day, from day one till the last day of shooting. And, you know, it's to his credit that he kept up that energy for everyone around, and it's tough to do, and definitely someone and something you should always aspire to be, especially as an actor, so... Lesson learned. I still don't do that. I'm still a little shithead. But one day.
So you had this gigantic gun.
Well, I might have over-exaggerated the size.
It's not 8 feet?
No. It's 7.5.
Okay. I didn't see the footage, so I'm sorry.
No, please, just see the movie. That's
all. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Did you get to play with it? I mean, the trailer shows it's really cool with the toys.
Yeah, you know, and that's how it was across the board. Everyone, Paul had awesome toys, I guess, that he got to play with, and I had an amazing gun, and I got to shoot at the shooting range anytime I wanted, which is great. It's just a perk of the job. And then, you know, I had an amazing knife that I got to play around with. So yeah, we were kind of very lucky. And you know, we have these motorcycles that are just awesome. And I got to learn how to ride a motorcycle. You know, every day it felt like, ooh, I get to learn something new. And that's just such an amazing experience. You know, you would never, at least in my normal life, I would never go learn how to throw a knife. You know, but I actually got to learn how to throw a knife. And, yeah, so someday I will be a jack of all trades and a master of nothing. But
an assassin.
We'll get there.